from Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable, previewing the 2019 season.
The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Now here's Steve Lyons, Mark James, and Evan Drellick.
Well, normally when we're coming to you live doing the WEI Red Sox Roundtable, especially from the Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn, our next guest would be here with us.
Front and center.
Enjoying because he's Mr. Boom Sauce, but his duty calls and, of course, his responsibilities in charge of WEEI.com, getting ready for the Red Sox opener tomorrow night in Seattle, tomorrow afternoon locally there in Seattle. And I'm sure he's got his Boom Sauce on the road in Seattle. I don't know if he's gonna wash down the chocolate-fried grasshoppers that's available at Mariners home games. Rob Bradfo, Bradfo Show. Hey, Bradford, just real quick, how's it feel to go from Fort Myers to Seattle? I know you were getting mail down there in Fort Myers for the last 6 weeks.
Hold on. You ready? I can't do anything before I do this. Boom Sauce, baby! Woo!
What a ham.
He is a ham.
I love it. I love you guys are in the midst of greatness at the Lord Hobo Brewing Company.
You sound like Ric Flair.
I know. He did sound a little bit like Ric Flair.
And I also, before I get into that question, Steve, how you doing? I was thinking of you. I know you got in the accident in Thailand, so everything all right?
Yeah, it's healing up pretty good. It was ugly. I got great pictures to show you.
By the way, Rob, not suitable for work, not suitable for someone who has a weak stomach and appetite. I saw them, and it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque.
It's funny, when you usually say you have pictures from Thailand, you say they're not suitable for work. Usually those are, you know, hidden
exactly.
In the deep, dark recesses.
Well, I know that there was one picture posted on Instagram where it was when the three nurses were coming in to change my IV, and someone sent a picture out on IG and said, not Steve's idea of a Thai massage.
somebody said, they said you were in for a second surgery, and someone said, well, that take the leeches off from the first surgery.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't worry. Steve was in a real hospital. There's no Orchids of Thailand day spas there, right?
Yes, I was in Fort Myers a long time, but now I am in Seattle, and I can tell you it's two distinctly different places.
Well, Rob, give me something from Alex Cora to take away here. With the bullpen and the closer secrecy, if he's just going to use Barnes in the most important situations, why can't he just say that? Why do we have this little drawn-out drama over how the hell the bullpen's going to shake out?
Don't you get the sense that Cora Evan, you know this from the beginning of last year, is that he's enjoyed the drama more and more and more
as his managerial stint
has gone along. He likes this sort of thing. You're right. This is obviously what he's going to do. But I think that I get the sense that he enjoys this stuff more than 365 days ago.
Well, you know, also, Rob, in the situation that he has now, there is no Kimbrel, so it's not obvious what he wants to do at the tail end of a ball game. And so he doesn't want to pigeonhole himself into saying something. If he doesn't do it, if it doesn't work out that way, then he has to answer questions about that. So if he says nothing, he can decide to do whatever he wants, and then in the aftermath say, well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I did it that way. Right?
And
you don't say nothing.
I agree. And I think that he also wants to be flexible, and I think he knows that this is going to change. He said that as much. Today when he talked, it was more along the lines of it is going to be an evolving thing. It's not going to be the same every time. And I know that he's insinuated that, and we could take the guess that that's what he was going to do. But today he went down that path a little bit further. I thought the interesting question that was asked of him was sort of the Kimbrel thing. Well, hey, listen, do you feel sort of more freedom to do this now than you did last year? And he had the politically correct answer, which is, yeah, Kimbrel got off to the slow start in spring training, and we couldn't really implement it. But when we really needed him to do it, he did it in Houston for a couple innings. And the fact of the matter was that he was hamstrung by this. I think there is an element of Alex Cora wants to do it this way more than he wanted to do it the traditional way that he was doing with Kimbrel.
And Kimbrel didn't want to do it.
Right. And that's what I mean. He was dancing around
problems.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, what's the biggest challenging question for the 2019 Red Sox?
Oh, I mean, I think we just talked about it. You have the biggest you know, payroll in baseball or close to it, and you're going into it with a bullpen with the two guys who are going to be your main guys, wherever they might pitch, with two total saves. And you go up and down, and I know baseball has a lot of these teams now who are identifying closers and who have some question marks or guys inexperienced as closers, but there's only one team that has a reliever who they're going to put in the quote-unquote closer spot or the high-leverage spot with fewer saves than Brazier and Barnes, and that's Tampa, Chaz Rowe. So this is a pretty big roll of the dice for these guys. And so when you ask that question, I know everyone's talking about it and everyone said it, but that's the reality of it.
Have the starting pitchers decided when they will go on strike without Sandy Leone there?
It's amazing, Evan, right? You can't function. But, you know, what's interesting is that you had Vasquez catching throughout the postseason last year. And this wasn't just, hey, we told you that Christian Vasquez could catch and we knew it all along. No, they had to pull Christian Vasquez through that postseason using the analytics much more than they did in the regular season. They had to basically almost babysit him because they knew that his strength wasn't what Sandy Leone's strength was, but they also needed more offense from him. So it'll be interesting to me to see if Christian Vasquez can take that step that he did take last year in the postseason, but do it without the micromanaging that they had to do while they were going through the World Series.
Rob, when you look at this team ultimately, and you know, Evan was talking about the analytics of where this team is projected to win 90 games in the regular season, certainly a far cry from the 108 that they won last year in the regular season. For Alex Cora, I mean, he's been on this never-ending, the honeymoon's still going on, Rob, but you know as well as I do, the last guy who won a World Series his first season here in Boston as a manager was John Farrell. So we all know how that turned out. For Cora, though, it seems to be much different that he has such a grasp and a feel of the guys in the clubhouse, and there's an equal respect that they have for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easier for him because you have all these guys back. You know these guys. For Cora, he knows these guys a whole lot better than he did when he began last year. But not to keep beating a dead horse here, but he also had Craig Kimbrell at the end of the bullpen. And you could have this whole plan that they had last year where David Price pitches 8 innings and gets pulled out of 78 pitches and we're going to rely on the bullpen because you felt you had some certainty in that bullpen. And you can say that you have great stuff and you have the guys to do it, but I don't know how you can go into this year when you're facing 11 straight games in the road and you have that sort of uncertainty to feel absolutely, even with all these guys coming back off a World Series team, that you're going to get off to a 17-2 start again. I think that there has to be some underlying uncertainty when you get to the late innings, because other than those late innings, they have I don't know if you know this, they have a really, really good team.
All right, this is what everybody's waiting for here. What's the health report? When's your buddy Dustin Pedroia going to be able to take the field? What's going on with Steve Pierce?
I thought I'm going to adjust my prediction on him, Evan. And he is.
Oh, you mean from 163 games that you wrote in the article the other night?
163 games. He's not playing in 163 games. So he's playing. Oh, yes.
What a big man you are to admit that.
I'm here to adjust. I'm here to adjust on the fly. And when he's not in the lineup tomorrow, I will say that he won't play in 163. But Pedroia, the plan remains the same, where he's in Fort Myers right now. And he's probably, when they start, I think the minor leagues start on April 4th. He's going to play in some games there. And again, if everything goes okay, his first back-to-backs, I think, are going to be this Thursday and Friday down in Fort Myers. And then the whole plan is for him to be with a major league team and play on the home opener. And from there, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. He looked fine in spring training. He looked good and everything else. But it wasn't, to me, it's not April. It's June. Like, what is June going to look like? Yeah, no one has the answer to that.
Rob, one of the other moves that was made, and one of your favorite guys on the team, Joe Kelly, no longer with the team. It doesn't seem to get the play that you thought it might have, because he was surely important down the stretch and in the World Series, but he was also a guy that narrowly made the playoff roster. I mean, he was in serious jeopardy because he had not pitched well at all down the stretch of not making it, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs he decided to throw that 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and it got him a huge deal elsewhere.
Yeah, and well, and Steve, you look at, you know, like Cora's talking about, everyone keeps saying the bullpen wasn't good last year heading in the postseason. We didn't have enough. But the fact of the matter is that they didn't have enough. They had to use a starter, and they also had to use a guy, or really ride a guy who was not there anymore, and Joe Kelly. So to say that, like, they have this bullpen thing figured out because they did in the postseason, I just don't think that's accurate, and Kelly was a big part of that. If he wasn't the league leader in appearances, the American League leader in appearances, then he was pretty close. And when you take a guy who has pitched that much out of the equation on top of what he did in the postseason, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big deal when you're replacing him, like, this, for instance, with a guy in Colton Brewer who pitched in 11 games last year, and I think gave up 10 runs on 15 hits and 7 walks. So, it's a big gamble, I think.
Rob, you have a special relationship with Boom Sauce, do you not? I want to enlighten the folks on why Boom Sauce is just so special to Rob Bradford.
Why? Well, first of all, it's fun to say. I mean, I hope you guys have been yelling it from the rooftops. And
Boom
second
Sauce.
Of all, it's delicious. It's delicious. And third of all, the people at Lord Hobo are some of the nicest people.
Yeah.
And most creative people that you're going to find around. And you guys, I hope you are soaking in that atmosphere there, because that's an awesome
place. Oh, it's awesome. Rob, not only Evan has partaken already in the Boom Sauce, Steve and I will get... Steve and I will get there after the show probably. I will tell you, the food is absolutely fantastic as well. I enjoy the pigs in a blanket, the pretzel. We eat
pretzels.
Yeah, plural. So, and this place is just so cool too. There's a great atmosphere. It's a Wednesday night and it's packed, and it's a lot. I just can't believe you're not here and you're in Seattle.
It's killing. Believe me, I'm being sincere when I say it's killing me. But just seeing Evan in his Boom Sauce T-shirt gave me a little bit of a glow. So that, thank you for all of you guys for being there and holding down the fort, and I've been listening a little bit. You guys have been doing a great job.
Hey, I'm an extra large, Bradfo.
Oh, well, you don't have one yet? What's going on?
I don't have one. You know, I'm lost to everybody for 5 months out in L.A.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to come back from Thailand in one piece, and once you did, I will present one
barely.
To you.
Have you seen the pictures of that leg? It barely. Hey, Rob, real quick, and you kind of alluded to this, you and Tomasi in the article. How many games do the Red Sox win?
I'll go with 100. That seems
okay.
Stupid,
wow.
Right?
Back yeah, but here's the surprising part. Who wins the World Series this year?
I think Houston wins the World Series.
I do too. You and I are actually on the same page on that.
But if think about it, if I pick like 93 wins a year ago or 2 years ago, everyone says, "Oh, you're being way too optimistic." But this is the reality of baseball, right? So it's picking 100 wins is like picking 90 wins 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a good point. No, it's a real good point.
There's a lot of easy wins out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hope you have some the Boom Sauce out there with you. You can wash down those chocolate fried grasshoppers at Safeco Field, all right?
Yeah, and big story going to be posted on WEI.com in about an hour and a half, so keep an eye out for it.
All right, any tease? Oh, any, yeah. Can, right, can give you give us a little hint?
Something,
give us a little something?
Bury the headline.
It has to do with there's one starting pitcher who is not signed yet to an extension, right?
Dallas Keuchel? Rick Porcello. But I thought you were referring to Dallas Keuchel. Okay,
no,
go ahead.
No.
He's not signed at all.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, you got to understand about Rob. So Joe Kelly's gone.
Yeah.
Dustin Pedroia is not there.
No.
Rick Porcello's the only guy left in there. So, of course, it would be a Porcello story.
Evan, I'm going to take, if your jealousy doesn't go away, Evan, I'm going to take that T-shirt right off your back.
So, good luck trying. I'm an extra large, too, but this isn't an extra large.
All right, Brad Faux Show. Appreciate it.
I'll talk to you guys.
All right. Enjoy the West Coast. You know, Seattle's a really cool city. And every time I think of Seattle, Steve, you're originally from the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm from Tacoma, Washington. Yeah,
Seattle, right. Area, so yep. SeaTac, yeah. I always think of the alternative grunge scene of the 90s, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam,
from right down there in Pioneer Square in Seattle.
Wow. Yeah. Were you guys a little surprised, too, the Red Sox start off the year with an 11 games, an 11-day road trip on the West Coast?
Yeah, it's better that than dealing with the stupid cold we got here.
Yeah, that's true.
Finally starting
to warm
up.
But it's amazing that they're not, usually it's opening day, then an off day.
Right.
The Red Sox are going to be the last team in baseball to have an opening, a home opener by far. Right. They're probably going to play in three home openers, right? They'll have Seattle. They'll probably get Arizona for an opener because I think Arizona starts on the road for two series and then they come there. So by the time the Red Sox
come up. A lot of lining up.
Too much, really.
April.
The players, after a while, they love their home opener. They can really care less about being involved in an opening day somewhere else.
Tuesday, April 9th, will be the Toronto Blue Jays coming to town here at Fenway Park for the home opener, so look forward to that. All right, WEI Red Sox Roundtable. I want to get to this. I teased this about an hour ago. I'd like to get to this, and I know Steve Lyons and Evan Drelk will not pull any punches, and neither will I. How does baseball get younger? How does baseball get better? Because there's some things out there that were proposed that didn't go through and aren't going to go through for maybe another 3 years or maybe longer. We'll get to that. We'll get to your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. Coming to you live from the Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn on WEI.
From Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable. Now here's Steve Lyons, Mark James, and Evan Drellick.
The WEI Red Sox Roundtable comes to you live from the Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn. Of course, you know, they are the creators of Boom Sauce, Glorious New England's IPA, and 617, a hazy Boston IPA, brewed to celebrate Titletown. We are joined right now by the owner, Daniel Lanigan. Daniel, appreciate you having us. It's my first time here at this place, and I was telling you during the break, I love the high ceilings. I love this space. This place is exactly the type of place I love coming to. So I live in Watertown. I have to come a little bit out to Woburn every now and then, or maybe we can franchise one over there.
Well, welcome to the Woo Boys.
Yeah. But, you know, you need some room to brew that beer back behind us.
Yeah, well, we got 50,000 square feet, so we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. How did Boom Sauce all come about?
The name came from me and my buddies had a text thread, and it was sort of after we were saying a lot of awesome sauce and a lot of Booyah.
Yeah.
As after Stuart Scott had passed, and we were kind of talking about Booyah a lot. And one day I just responded to a dumb thing my buddy said. I said, Boom Sauce. And then my cousin said, oh man, that's a beer name. And we were just about to open this place. So I called my lawyer and said, can we trademark that thing? I don't imagine it's available. And he said, it's actually available. So we got it. And now it sort of represents who we are.
And what year was that?
It was 5 years ago.
Wow.
2014.
And just from a text thread with your buddies.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and this particular beer, like the double IPA, what, like everything that you can describe, what goes into it?
Well, it's sort of a mentality. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. You know, it's 8% double IPA. You have to really be committed to drink 8% beers.
8% beers.
You have to have a certain amount of desire.
You got that. So you've got that, Daniel.
You want to dislike yourself in the morning.
No, that's all right.
You want to carry a little extra, you know, fat around your girth for most of your life. And that's a commitment that not everyone is up to the challenge to make.
But you are.
Oh, yeah. I'm all in, yeah.
I'll tell you what. You know, here's another commitment. You got some sweet whiskers going. How long have you been working on that?
No, man.
Oh, man. I had a goatee forever because I have a kind of a fat chin, so I wanted to hide that. So I thought when we started the brewery, we should grow out a full beard. And it took about 2 years, and now I just sort of trim it. It's at this point, kind of too long to grow any further. I don't want it down to my belly. You know?
No, but you got, like, it's sort of like James Harden-ish. You know, but yours is obviously...
I probably wear it a little bit. He's a little bit too manicured.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He's a pretty boy. I mean, he's good scores. Right. I don't have a step back, but, you know, he's pretty good.
All right, so...
How long before Boom Sauce is in Fenway?
Yeah.
Well, we've tried for years, and I think it's just the 8% alcohol that scares them a little bit. And I understand that. You got to, you know, have a small window of opportunity, 7 innings. You got to get them all in while you can. And
how about Boom Sauce Light? No?
Well, we're working on a deal to hopefully get one of our beers in. Soon, 617 is a new release of ours, and that's for, you know, it's for Boston. It's for
Titletown.
And growing up in Everett and living in Boston my whole adult life, like 617 means a lot to me, and the history with the marathon and the Boston Strong. I just thought someone needs to make a beer that sort of embodies Boston and what we're all about. And so 617 just seems appropriate, and hopefully it'll be in Fenway soon.
Now, I mean, you know, when you look at winemakers, I mean, they're scientists and they're chemists. I got to figure. The same type of research and development has to go into beer making, too. How did you get into it? And who do you have working back there for you that know what they're doing?
And by the way, it smells great. We are, just to sort of visualize the radio audience out there, So you have the place, and we're kind of here with the brewery, right? We can smell all of that good stuff.
Yeah, we're technically sitting in the brewery. So the tap room's in front of us. It's about 4,000 feet, a couple hundred seats. And we have this 26,000 square foot room right behind us, which we're sitting in. So we have sort of a little bit of insulation from the rest of the wild folk out there drinking triple IPAs and double IPAs. Yeah.
How'd you get into it?
So I owned craft beer bars for the last 17 years. Always focused on craft beer. Just a bar owner, restaurateur. Passionate about craft beer, and once you do well in the restaurant industry, it's hard to grow. Once your place is full every night, you might grow 5 or 10% a year, but I really wanted to get into a growth industry, and I really only knew a lot about one thing. I knew a lot about beer. I have a pretty good palate. I'm not a brewer. I don't brew the beers. I help develop the recipes, and I try to give direction and sort of give the guys the answers to the test, and they have to figure out how to create the test. And I have a lot of really smart, talented, experienced guys back there, ladies back there that help us coordinate. Our innovation team has many people involved. And so we started out with 4 or 5 beers in the beginning. And we went really wide, 15 states pretty quickly. And now with the taproom open up, we have a smaller system so we can be more flexible. Now we have 25 beers here. And for a long time, we only had 4 or 5. So it's been an interesting growth spurt of flavors and profiles, different types of beer.
You got a lot, any pro athletes, though? Jackie Bradley Jr., but some guys that are partaking in Boom Sauce?
Well, he left us, reliever. He left us for L.A.
Oh, Joe Kelly, yeah.
Joe was a big Boom Sauce guy.
He
did a lot of stuff with Brad Foe on Twitter for Boom Sauce. And I'm thinking, man, that guy, he drinks a lot of Boom Sauce, but he's really really skinny.
Yeah,
well, and I don't really trust skinny guys. You know?
Oh, well, you don't trust me. That's funny. I love the.
I'm getting more trustworthy.
Yeah, the logo, Steve. You know, the they've got the coolest logo there. It's like the
crown.
Yeah. So Lord. Hogan.
Well, it's Lord Homo.
Yeah. How did that all?
Yeah. So for us, it's like about vagabond royalty. You know, Lord Homo's a sort of an iconic image for us. For us, the beer is the most affordable luxury item on earth. There's no $100 beer, $1,000 beer, $1 million beer. There's no beer that a Saudi prince can buy that you and I cannot buy. Beer is so approachable. So the best beers in the world are $8 or $9. The worst beers in the world are $4. So for an extra $4 or $5,
you can
literally drink like a king.
Right.
There's not a lot of like luxury items that you can do that with. So I think craft beer is just so fascinating because it's such a value proposition, and that's what we try to sell. That's why it's a crown, it's regal, it's gold, it's bravado, it's like I said, vagabond royalty.
This is our first time here at Woburn. I got to tell you, I was saying it too. Not only I know Evan Drellick, he's already partaken at the beginning of the segment, beginning of the show about the Boom Sauce. Your food's amazing too. The pretzels, the pigs in a blanket, the salad. We've gone through all of that.
Well, my chef here, Nick, he was with me at my gastropub in Cambridge for the last 6 years. And so we needed to expand the kitchen here. It was an obvious move over for him. It's a bigger space, more people, more intensity. But he's a really talented guy.
How much trial and error is in the things that you didn't understand about getting into this end of the business? You told me you're in 15 states with the beers. How about distribution and how that all came about? You had to be over your head for a little while.
Yeah, it's a constant learning curve. Still, every day, we're still learning. We're still growing. There's 8,000 breweries. We're in the top 100 size-wise, so we jumped over 7,900 other breweries in the last 3 years. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come without making mistakes and pitfalls and massive learning curves, and we just hire lots of talented, experienced people and try not to screw it up too badly. But the competition and trying to be the best and trying to be literally better than everybody else and differentiate ourselves in the market, that's the goal. That's what gets me out of bed every day. And the challenge of growth and sales and doing it right and running a company that people are proud to be a part of and can be loyal to and developing a culture that people want, like, are loyal to and want to respect. Like, there's so much to it. It's so much fun. I'm literally living the dream.
The owner, Daniel Lanigan, awesome. Here of Lord Hobo Brewery. I want to talk to you about, you got a cool Sox hat on. What was your most memorable moment of last year's run to their fourth World Series title in 15 years?
Oh, last year, wow. I mean, it had to be Sale striking out Machado at the end
at
the whole
end,
thing.
Where he bent the knee like Game of Thrones?
Sale, you know, obviously he was a little bit fragile towards the end. And you think Kimbrough's going to come on and knock it down, but he just was so, iffy towards the end. And having Sale come over, we brought him over for a championship, traded for him, gave up all his prospects. He had a reasonable contract, dominated, then was like kind of iffy in the second half, and then came back and destroyed that ninth inning. 1-2-3, 3 strikeouts, nine swings and misses. It was unbelievable.
That's the way you're supposed to get it done.
Yeah.
That was it. It was a dream season.
Now, the Red Sox, the big question was when Big Poppy retired, who was going to step up and who was going to be that next guy. I don't know if he, because Big Poppy's a larger-than-life personality, but J.D. Martinez last year coming over from Arizona. You know, it's not often you come into this market and can produce right away. He did that. I think he was a huge reason why, too.
I feel like he's sort of a stealth ninja. He's so brilliant as a hitter.
Yeah.
He had such an incredible season. He's so quiet. He leads by example. You know, he's teaching all these kids how to hit, and everyone goes to him. Well, you know, people that are older than him, people that have been playing longer than him. He's just such a student of the game. We all hear about his sort of maniacal preparation, how good of a hitter he is, and how late he is to the ball, and he can just spray it anywhere. You just feel like he's going to get better. He's so obsessed with getting better, and he makes other hitters around him better. So to me, MVP of the team, Mookie was amazing last year, obviously. Hard to argue with that decision. But JD, I think if you polled the players on the team, would probably be the heart and soul of that.
Probably. You're clearly a huge fan, but with the undertaking here, how often are you getting out to Fenway to see games?
Oh, boy. Not as much as I would like to, obviously. I have season tickets to the Celtics. And I like that. It's 2.5 hours. It's, you know, 7:30 to 10. I'm in and out. It's right down, you know, it's right down where I live. Whereas the Sox is 4.5 hours. It's in the sun.
It's a commitment.
They cut me off. They don't serve my beer yet. They cut me off in the seventh inning, and I just, you know, it's a slower game. This year, I think we're going to get some good news about selling our beer there, and I think we'll actually be there quite a bit this year because that's a dream come true. Growing up, I was at Yaz's last game. My grandfather. I've been going to the Sox since that was 1983, October 5th, my birthday, and I have just been, you know, living the dream with family my whole life, and we sucked for so long, and now we've been down, you know, 4 championships in 15 years. Like, that's sort of dynasty-like.
Sure
but,
is.
To get our beer into the Fenway Park,
oh,
that will be a tingling day for sure.
I can't let you go. You mentioned you're a Celtics season ticket holder. What's your thoughts of that? I mean, I look at their season, and I cover, like, all their home games. They could go to the NBA Finals. They could get bounced in the first round. That's how I look at them. Do they remind you of the 2011 Red Sox?
Well, there was...
The beer and chicken?
There was a lot of animosity with the beer and chicken guys. I don't think it's quite to that level. I do agree with you. They can go far. They can get banged up early. I put a lot of emphasis on Brad. I think that he played Hayward to, you know, started Hayward at the beginning of the year. Didn't deserve that. I think Marcus Morris has been in the lineup for too long as a starter.
Put Jalen Brown
I think he's, you know, Jalen Brown's been so good at the bench. And Marcus Smart is one of the best bench players in the league, but he's starting him. And he's obviously kind of the heart and soul of the team, but I wouldn't be surprised if they bounced Indianapolis in 4 games and then got crushed by Toronto or Milwaukee in 5 games.
You know? Yeah.
Or I also wouldn't be surprised if they went to Game 7 against Golden State.
All right, you got to try Boom Sauce, Lord Hobo Brewing Company here in Woburn. You can follow them on social media, Lord Hobo Brewing. Daniel Lanigan is local from Everett, and he knows his sports. Thankfully, you don't want to go in sports radio because you'd be taking our jobs.
Good thing he knows his beer, too.
Yeah, you know your beer. We appreciate you having us, man. I'll be coming out again soon.
Guys, it's a pleasure to have you. I listen to you guys on radio all the time. I know I'm not being paid to say that. I literally cherish this analysis, and I got psycho to my right.
Right. I know.
I was like, man, is he going to drop his pants tonight? I don't know what's going on.
No, hopefully not.
The night is young, Daniel.
A couple of beers later.
Ask him to show you his leg injury in Thailand.
Yeah, we heard about it.
It's pretty nasty. Though, but listen, we appreciate you having us out.
Thanks,
here.
Guys. And if Brad's still listening, good luck on the marathon, bro.
All right,
you got it. Daniel Lanigan, Lord Hobo Brewing, give it up for him. Give it up. And you got to try the Boom Sauce, the 617, the Hazy Boston IPA. We'll come back. We'll get to some of your phone calls, the 617-779-7937. And we're gonna get to this next. I promise you, baseball. We're gonna try. There's an article this week that came out how to make it younger. We'll get to that and some callers on hold right here on WEI Red Sox Roundtable.
Live from Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable, previewing the 2019 season.
Back at the Lord Hobo Brewing Company, thanks to Daniel Lanigan for coming by and talking not only about Boom Sauce and 617.
Daniel's still taking investors, man. This was the company to get into, man.
This is it.
This guy's exploding.
Got any money I can borrow so I can invest?
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, big things happening for Lord Hobo Brewing Company and 2019 and beyond. We appreciate them having us out here tonight. And we're talking a lot about the Red Sox season upcoming. And I want something I brought up a little over an hour ago, and I like to get to, is just that there were some proposed rule changes that, well, a lot of them just got left on the cutting room floor, starting with the pitch clock. There was having the universal DH in both leagues. That still hasn't happened, the senior circuit, the National League, but there was an article that came out yesterday on how to make baseball younger. Steve, you played the game. Evan, you cover the game. I love the game. And why it doesn't resonate with the young audience who seems to be more into e-gaming and other things and whatever, maybe NBA or NFL. But why did the proposed pitch clock, which Rob Manfred seems to be quite progressive about, not get implemented, and they said it won't even be on the table for discussion until 2022.
Steve's, it's all Steve's ex-pitcher buddies. Right. You know, they're too stubborn, you baseball players. You don't want to, you want to fix the game? What's going on here, Steve?
That's part of it. There, you know, there's still a bunch of ignorance from the players who actually play the game who don't understand that the game, in a certain sense, is dying. There's no question that the kids don't play baseball like they used to. They'd rather play lacrosse. Or soccer.
One of the fastest growing sports, yep. Lacrosse. Yeah.
And, you know, baseball is a hard game to be good at. So as soon as you see a little disappointment, you turn your tail and run. It's slow. It's a thinking man's game. And we're raising generation of idiots that need attention span. They don't have one. They need instant gratification with everything they do. They need it to be fast. And baseball's not that kind of game. And your original question, how do we make it younger? How do we make it more appealing to the younger? And my answer is, and I'm embarrassed to say it, is I have no idea. None.
Here's why
I know a lot of the stupid things that they're coming up with that I don't like.
Right.
The pitch clock is more important beyond pace of play, because a lot of times what people are confusing is pace of play and a game clock is one thing, and then pace of action. What I'm talking about is getting the bat on the ball and the amount of dead time there is. So what's contributing to that? It's strikeouts. The incredibly high number of guys throwing 90s, blowing it by people in the late innings, and this parade of replaceable arms that just, you don't even know who half these guys are. But when you have Chris Sale on the mound, and you always hear the defenders talking about how much they love playing behind somebody who has that kind of pace, who makes it go by quickly, who keeps your attention wrapped. Well, it's the same for me in the press box. I don't know about you guys watching it. Steve, when you're in the studio, you're at the park. Guess what? I'm not watching every pitch. But I hear sound crack of the bat, then I'm locked into it. So the pitch clock would help at least just get more action more readily. Forget the time of game. It'll help that too. But you got to have something to actually watch besides strikeouts.
Well, the way the game's changing with it, the whole talk about launch angle, which to me is the biggest fallacy, because launch angle has always been a part of the game. Ted Williams taught launch angle.
Right.
He just didn't have that name for it. But the problem that I see with the way the game is, it's all either home runs or strikeouts now. There's no in-between. Balls aren't getting put in play. And part of that whole, you know, guys are changing the way they try to lift every ball into the air. But the... And you talk about guys coming out of the bullpen that are throwing 100. That will evolve. The hitters will catch up with that. You know, it was the hitters eventually, the more they see of it, the better they're going to be at hitting it. They're just a little behind right now.
But so, doesn't the human eye just hit a point where you can't do it anymore, though?
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, think about it.
When you and I are biologists. We know how this stuff works.
Well, when you were a kid and someone threw 60, that seemed hard to you. And now you keep playing the game and you evolve with the game and a guy's throwing 90. But because you've continued to do it, you evolve with it. And I think that'll still happen. The problem is, like, the high fastballs that everyone's swinging out right now. When did that become a strike? When did that become a pitch that everyone has to swing at? Why are guys coming out of the zone to swing at this pitch when it's not a strike? Why don't you get it down and you will put the ball in play? So that's been weird to me. This isn't a strike, but everyone's swinging at it.
Do you think also the shift is something that might be hurting baseball as well, something we didn't see 20 years ago, but now it's played its way into the game and it's sort of maybe taking away a little bit? But, I mean, how do you counter that? You counter that by hitting opposite field, which is easier said than done.
Okay, they start putting in rule after rule after rule. What you're seeing in front offices now and across baseball, this is true in free agency and it's true on the field too. They're figuring out how to maximize everything. Baseball is a beautiful, wonderful, great game, my favorite game. It is not perfect. And what the geniuses, and they are geniuses to some degree, have figured out is, okay, in the rules that we have, in the basic setup of this game, what is the absolute best way to score runs? What is the absolute best way to do whatever activity on the field you're talking about? If you put in a rule about the shifts, you're going to get something else
where they're going to figure out, okay, now this is the best way to do it. And so you're going to be constantly playing this cat and mouse game where you're trying to stop the team from doing something, but they're never going to stop trying to figure out what is the absolute best way to do it. So you're probably better off, rather than legislating the whole thing, just take it the other way. I understand a single is not as valuable as a home run. That if a guy like, oh, I don't know, Adam Dunn's always the example. But Adam Dunn bunts, then it's a win for the team that got him to bunt because it didn't hit a home run. But if Adam Dunn bunted enough, then you would deter it. If you just put in rule after rule after rule, you're going to bog down this game and make it unrecognizable from what we all love.
I completely agree with you, because what has happened across the board in front offices now is that you do have a bunch of geniuses that's their only job is to figure out how to do things more efficiently. But they don't know the game. They don't care about the game. They're looking at numbers, trying to figure out, you know, what's a better way to get this guy out. So that's how they employed the shift. I hate the shift, but don't take it away from me. I think it's overused and overdone. But if I've figured out that player A hits the ball to the second baseman every time he comes up, I'm going to have three guys over there at second base waiting to catch the ball. If he never hits it over there, why do I need a guy there? And you can't take that away from me as the opposing manager. I have a strategy to beat you. You can't take that away from me. That's stupid. And so then, because the people that are coming up with these new rule changes are people that don't have a feel for the game, most of them are crap. Move the mound back. Put a guy at second base in extra innings. Who's coming up with this crap? That's what I want to know. Because it isn't a baseball guy. Put a guy at second.
Somebody needs a super boom
guess what?
Sauce.
Because they don't want the games to go extra innings. I'm not a huge fan of extra inning games either. But they happen. And as a fan, if you're with your 10-year-old son and he has school tomorrow, you can go home. The game will go on. You don't have to stay. You can turn the TV off.
Here's a good example. The opener, the use of the reliever for one inning. It makes total sense, right? Most runs, or a lot more runs, get scored in the first inning than in other innings. Historical data bears that out. Starting pitchers got to get settled in, whatever. But for years, for all of our lifetime, for the time the game has been around, you look forward to a starting pitching matchup. So whoever's figured out that the opener is a good idea, you're right. Yeah, you could prevent more runs using an opener. But you're making the game and the matchup somewhat unrecognizable. When I go to the park, I wanted to see Pedro. I want to see Chris Sale.
Right.
I'm not there to see Sergio Romo.
Game one of the World Series last year was Sale Kershaw. That was awesome.
Exactly.
Now, it didn't work out the way that we all thought it would, because you had two Cy Young candidates there. But it was great because you had the headliners. It was DiCaprio and Robert Downey, and there's your movie. And that's, you had the two biggest
stars.
You got
the Robert Downey in there?
Yeah, throw Downey in there. He's won a bunch.
He was mentioning a Motley Crue.
That's right. No, here's
documentary.
Here's another thing, too, is that the NFL owners' meetings is going on right now in Phoenix, okay? So the NFL, when something is egregiously wrong, they will do everything they can to fix it, and they might bleep it up
overdo
a little bit,
it?
Too.
Well, every play.
But non-pass interference calls. So what we saw in New Orleans when the Saints got ripped off on the call that should have gone against Nicole Roby Coleman of the Rams, now coaches will be able to challenge that. So when something's wrong in the NFL, or something might not be wrong, they will get it, all the owners, and they'll change it. My issue with baseball is, why do we have to wait until 2022? I care about 2019 before I don't know.
Right,
about
but that's just the pitch clock. Here's the other thing. You know, with football, I always used to say that football fans were big babies and they had to have the game perfect and you had to have replay because the refs screwed us. I always thought in baseball, you know, the adversity teaches you how to be a more well-rounded person. You know, and you brought it up. And my description of baseball is that it's a perfectly imperfect game. It's supposed to be that way. Everything isn't supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to get screwed on a call at first base every once in a while just to let you know that you're alive and to learn to live with it and find a new way to win. When I was 11 years old, I came home from a game and my dad asked how we did. And I said, well, the umpires beat us. The umpires screwed us. And he said, really? He said, how many hits did you have? I had two. He goes, what? So you went 2 for 4? All right, Billy, your buddy, how many hits did he have? I said, he said he went 1 for 4. All right, well, there's what? 4 or 5 at-bats where you guys didn't do anything. You had opportunities to change the outcome of the game. He looked at me there. He said, the umpires will never beat you. They may have a rough day and it make it harder for you to win, but if you score 8 runs and the other team scores 2, you're going to win. You know, you have opportunities to win. One play doesn't beat you. Two plays on the field does not beat you. And I always thought the football mentality was the whole tuck rule, and now this. Well, it was the whole mentality was that one play
beat
caused
you.
Us to lose right. the game. It's not the way it is. It's not that way in baseball either, and that's why I hate replay in baseball. Talk about a thing that slows the game
down. I'm with
you
on that.
And the human element of the game is something that's present.
Even if you get a Don Dekinger from the 85 World Series,
bad.
Or who was that relief pitcher with the Tigers that had the perfect game?
Jim Joyce at first.
Yeah, Galarraga was the pitcher who had the perfect game stolen away from him when he clearly had the guy out. It's the human element. I'd rather have that than the replay. It's already slowing down a sport that takes too long.
We run the risk of being the people who go, we hate change. We want it to stay the way it was. And I don't get that sense entirely.
We're like our fathers?
Right, exactly. Yes, right.
Back in my day.
Stay off of my lawn.
I want to hold your hand. Still the best song ever. Whatever it might be that you're, that generational
flip side of that was way better, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I'm young enough still, I think. I still believe in change. But
I'm not sure
that every change, particularly all at once, is something that's going to help the game. There are unintended effects when you do this move toward efficiency, when you do bring in the opener instead of having a regular starting pitch. You are messing with part of that human element. Lasers on the plate. If we tomorrow could put a strike zone in that would be perfect every time, do you want it?
Nope.
I don't think it's as easy an answer as, yes, I want every call right. Because if you want everything right, you're losing some of the anger and the drama that goes along with yelling at umpires.
Right, the baseball. What with the umpire's going to have a buzzer that tells him that it was a strike, so then he calls it a strike or something like that. They're toying with that. You know, they're moving the mound back a foot and a half. They're putting guys on second base with an extra inning. There's some of the suggestions. Like I said, I don't know how to fix
right.
it, but I know what's not going to fix
right,
it, and I'm hearing a bunch of stuff that's not fixing anything. It doesn't make sense. They've already babyfied the game just like they have in the NFL. And I get some of the NFL stuff, head injuries and all that stuff. But you can't even tackle a guy anymore
no.
in the NFL. You get charged with targeting. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm supposed to target that guy. I'm supposed to nail him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't break up a play at second base. You can't run over the catcher. Nobody in baseball that plays the game agrees with those changes. I was a second baseman. I loved the fact that you could come and take me out. You know why? Because I got the ball in my hand, and you better slide or I'm putting it right between your eyes. The catcher, my brother was a catcher. He would catch balls. He'd run up the line to hit a guy trying to score on him. Bring it on. You think Mike Socha isn't rolling over in his wherever he is now, not managing? He loved it if you tried to score on him. Most of those guys do. But because Buster Posey gets hurt and Utley runs over somebody at second base, all of a sudden we're changing everything about the game. It's like nobody wants it. So who's in charge of making these rules change? To me, I think it's people that don't have a feel for the way the game's played.
Great stuff. All right, we'll get to some of your phone calls on this on the other side. 617-779-7937 WEEI. Red Sox Roundtable coming to you live from Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn. Steve Lyons, Evan Drelk, Mark James, right here on WEEI.